What is going on, nerds of wrestling, and welcome to today's episode of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I am your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is Jarrett Diaz. Jarrett, what is going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Justin? Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here. Very excited to chat with you. I've been looking forward to it for a little while now.
Hey, man. I should be thanking you because I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while, and I was like, you know what? Let me ask him. Let me shoot my shot, and I got it. I got it in there.
I'm not that hard to get in touch with, man. I'm more than happy to do stuff like this.
Yeah, dude, I really appreciate it. You know, for the nerds of wrestling who don't know who Jarrett Diaz is, explain to the nerds, who is Jarrett Diaz? What's he all about?
Jarrett Diaz is just a kid from the Bronx. Listen, I take a lot of pride in what I do. I love wrestling more than anything in the world. I'm so lucky enough to have fallen in love with what I want to do with for the rest of my life when I was 10 years old. And after trying other things, you know, primarily a football career in all the way in through college, I found my way to doing what I love doing most. And I love sharing that with people as often as I can.
10 years old, you said you found what you wanted to do, and that was professional wrestling. Obviously, you're doing it. You're killing it. You've been wrestling everywhere. A lot of names are starting to know who you are. You've been putting in the work, bro. At 10 years old, when you started watching wrestling, around what year was that? Who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Oh man, it was 2006, 2007-ish.
Good time.
Good little chunk of time there. You know, John Cena at his height. You know, Randy Orton coming into the main event scene to face off with him. But my initial introduction to wrestling was with Shawn Michaels in the second career of Shawn, where I saw Sweet Chin Music on a PSP on SmackDown versus Raw. It was like, I had never seen wrestling before. And a friend of mine that I was in the after school program with had it. And I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's the coolest thing ever. Like, what is that? It's just the coolest thing. And he starts telling me, like, oh, it's WWE wrestling. Like, Monday Night Raw is on tonight. You should watch it. And after a little bit of convincing it takes to get my mom to let me to stay up a little later, because I'm 10, stay up a little later to watch it. And so I finally turn on the TV, and the first thing I see is Jeff Hardy doing a dive onto Umaga out of the ring. And I was hooked immediately. I was like, oh, like that. I want to do that.
No shit.
So yeah. The first thing I saw was so influential to me, or the first couple of things that I saw were so influential to me that, like, I don't know. I'm just blessed, man. I'm so glad to have been able to take to it so quickly.
I'm happy you said you started watching around 2006, 2007. That was an important time for us wrestling fans, right? Because that's when I started watching wrestling. And I'm 28. You're what, like 26, right?
26, yeah.
26. So I feel like that was like the top tier of wrestling for us in our age group. You know, John Cena, Randy Orton, you know, like you said, Jeff Hardy, Umaga, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Obviously, they've been wrestling for years before. But we got introduced to them when DX was around. Like, when they started up DX, that's exactly when we got into it, you know? And I feel like Shawn Michaels was obviously an icon now and forever will be, right? Going into wrestling, right? Because you said you've been watching wrestling for quite some time. When did you first were like, okay, this is when I'm going to train. This is where I'm going.
So when I was a kid, I started playing football at five or six years old. Basically training to be a quarterback as long as I can remember. And I always knew, like, all right, like, as I get into wrestling, I see all of the people that came from football, guys like The Rock and John Cena and Goldberg. And like, I'm seeing this as a real viable path as like, all right, there are football players that then for whatever reason, move on to wrestling. So I already play football. I'll do that as long as I can. And then when it's time for me to be done with football, whenever football is done with me, that's when I'll start wrestling. So when I was graduating high school and I was getting ready to play football in college in Indiana, I was ready to go train and you know, spend the summer just working on that. And then this was 2014, spring of 2014, and they had just done their post-mania releases, WWE had. And one of those releases was Curt Hawkins, Brian Myers. And he opens up Create a Pro very quickly after he's released, along with Pat Buck, who already owned a school in New Jersey as well. They opened the school in Long Island, and I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm going to go play football in August, but why can't I go train for May, June, July? So I walk into Create a Pro during their open house, their very first one, and you know, I see Zach Ryder there and Trent Beretta and Alex Reynolds and like these guys that were professional wrestlers but were still local. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, like there's a very real opportunity here for me to just dip my feet in and see how I feel. And I get there and I do my first 3 months of training, and it's first day is the hardest day, right? Any wrestler will tell you that if you can make it past the first day of training passionately and excited to go back the next day, you're gonna be okay. Bumping, running the ropes, learning really simple fundamentals those first couple months was like, all right, like I want to do this. I'll come back to this. I go play football for a couple years in college. I ended up transferring that from that school and going to community college. And during that time, like I wasn't playing football, but I also wasn't wrestling training. I had sort of had this identity crisis when I had finished playing football. I was like, all right, like, am I ready to wrestle? Are there other still things that I want to try? And so I started taking acting classes. I started playing guitar and playing piano and doing open mics and just trying all of these different things that I was really able to do. All these things that I wasn't able to do when I was playing football through school, because that was so like so much of a commitment.
Right.
I transferred to Full Sail University down in Florida, and that's where I realized, like, all right, I'm not playing football anymore. My degree is on the way, and I'm in Florida where wrestling lives. So if I'm going to do this, now's the time. The girl I was dating at the time, she was like, hey, like, just do it today. Like, go find a wrestling school, figure it out. And I started looking around and I found some places to train, and I started then. So I was 22. I'm 26 now. So I'm coming up on my fourth year.
Wow. It seems like you had to go through a lot of hoops and ladders to find what you really wanted. You said you did piano, you did some music, you did football.
I've always had an inkling to entertain. And while I was doing those things, taking the acting classes and playing music and stuff, that was all cool. Like, I really enjoyed that immediate reaction, the live crowd, and obviously not big crowds, but you get what I'm saying. But I was then missing the athletic component of it, where my life was at first dedicated to football. And then I started entertaining, and I figured all the more reason to wrestle, because I'm able to merge those two worlds. And that's sort of been the theme of my life, which is like, I get a degree in sports broadcasting at Full Sail because I want to go work at WWE. They have this relationship already built in. Let me marry the two. So the theme of my life is like, all right, I like all these things. How can I make them all work for me? And that's what I've been trying to do this whole time.
Dude, that's awesome. And, you know, it seems like you knew what you wanted. It seems like you knew what you were doing this whole time. And now you got it in there, man.
That's the benefit of hindsight, because the whole time I felt like I was lost and felt like I didn't know what I was doing. But I always like I had this idea that as long as I know where I want to get at the end, let me just try and make moves that I think can put me in a good place. And that's what I just kept doing.
And all the puzzles were like kind of put together. Now they're
exactly.
And now you got this whole masterpiece.
100%.
Now
masterpiece in progress. You know, we're all still trying to figure it out.
Exactly. And as a wrestler, you're still trying to, you know, get your name out there. You're still trying to wrestle in as many places as you can. Now you're in Florida, you're training. How's that process? Because you said you did that one training session, or did you do more?
I did 3 months at Create a Pro. That's where I first started. And I also did, when I was going to community college in New York, I did go back from time to time and take a few more months of classes and try things, but it wasn't yet when I was fully pursuing this. When I get to Florida, I have maybe 5 or 6 months under my belt at that time of training. So some basic moves, some wrestling, like some simple wrestling. And then of course your fundamentals of running, bumping and rolling. You know, very, very crucial things to be able to do well, but I was not anywhere near having a match yet. nowhere even near.
Yeah.
My second cousin, his name is Jason Cade, and he wrestled with MLW. He wrestled with Impact for a little while as well. And he's been all around the indies for a long time, and he's not wrestling anymore. But at the time, I had moved into the same apartment complex as him. So wherever he would go, he would bring me. So I trained, you know, I trained with Lince Dorado and Ricochet and Matt Sydal and Jay Lethal.
Holy, wow.
Anywhere and everywhere. Just people that he knew, people that he was tight with. Now I would go work out with him. I would hit the ring with him. And that was also a very fortunate opportunity and experience, because now I have all these guys that are like, all right, this is where I want to be. And these are the people that are all there. So I'm able to learn at a more rapid pace than I would say a lot of people did. I look at a guy like MJF, who started at Creator Pro and like started so young, and he just climbed this mountain, you know, he's exactly where he is now for a reason. The dude is damn talented. I look at it like, all right, I didn't start and stick with it on the same timeline. And that's his rise and guys, other Creator Pro people that I feel are my contemporaries, but they've all gotten to a point faster than me because of their ability to stay with that one thing. I look at it as, all right, I didn't start as committed or as full-time with wrestling, but once I did, I accelerated more quickly than a lot of other people because of the opportunities that I was afforded.
You know, you said it a couple of seconds ago. You were very fortunate to be in the place where you were with your cousin, living in the same apartment complex, going to all the same shows, meeting new people, kind of helping out, you know, seeing the backstage of what the stuff happens, setting up the ring.
Yeah.
You know, now you're in Florida, you're doing all the training, right? Because you said you had five, six months under your belt.
Correct.
Was that easier for you, or was it a little harder? Because I know some wrestling schools might do things differently than what another school does.
Sure. How was that for you? My experience was that of physically, especially coming from a college football background, like physically I was capable of everything. It obviously took reps and it took, you know, training to get better at the things, but there wasn't anything physically that I was finding super challenging. It was more the why. And I still struggle with the why as we all wrestlers continue to get better and continue to learn and develop our in-ring psychology and wrestling IQ. That's the part that took longer for me to figure out. In my very first match, which was against Jason Cade, by the way, which was, again, super fortunate. Like, he carried me through 15 minutes that I only had about 3 minutes worth of moves for.
Wow, that's pretty long for a first match. 15 minutes?
Way too long. Holy shit. He took me to deep waters first night, and I was weighing over my head, but he was able to make sure that, like, I didn't run out of things, because he just kept giving me offense. He kept, you know, providing me that opportunity. And it wasn't like I couldn't do it. I didn't have it up here yet. But right. Physically, I knew that I was going to do a dive, a big flip over the top dive before I was even having matches. I was like, all right, in my very first match, I'm going to do this dive. And there wasn't a fear or a physical incapability. It was just like, how do I have a match? And it was all up here. And that took the time. That was the challenge. It was mental more than anything.
You know, I think that's like the longest first match I've ever heard. I interviewed a lot of wrestlers. Yeah. They didn't really go into detail. Legit.
I think bell to bell was like 13 and a half minutes.
Damn.
Way too. I wasn't prepared for that.
And I was going to say, like, did you know that going into the match? Like, hey, you guys.
No. No, I had no idea. I didn't learn it. I didn't realize how long we were going to be able to go until he said, we're going as long as I feel like. I think we were told 8 to 10, and we just kept going.
Hey, I feel a lot of wrestlers kind of maybe go a little bit over their time because they want to do certain spots, yeah. And you know, which
this was just him driving the ship and just me saying, all right, I'll fill in where you need me, because I wasn't ready to make decisions in wrestling yet.
Hey, that's incredible, bro. You know, but before that, you have your first match. How long did it take you? Or for your trainers to go, all right, man, Jarrett, you're ready. Let's go.
Let's get you in. I'd say another 6 months of training before, and this is 6 months just training in Florida before I actually had a match. So
like a year and a half of training altogether. You would
no, say? I would say a year. I would say a year of training without having a match in front of a crowd, give or take. Yeah, maybe a little less than that.
And that's a fair time, because a lot of wrestlers, you know, they take a little longer. They're not ready. Some wrestlers pick it up like a sponge and they're ready in like 7 months. They're ready to go.
It's different for everybody. I look at a friend of mine, Rob Martyr, who's doing really well in the indies right now and creating a lot of buzz for himself over this last year. He started around the same time as me in terms of having matches, but he was training much longer, and it got him. And I, you know, he won't shy away from saying it himself. Like, he was a he had a harder time getting started, but once he got in the ring frequently and started doing these shows and like taking it very seriously, he's been doing nothing but awesome things. Like, it just, it's different for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, now you're wrestling, now you're doing your thing, right? Now you have all these promotions and all these places and people you want to wrestle. Where, what was the, I don't want to say like the furthest you traveled to, or like the whatever you traveled to, like outside of Florida, where did you wrestle for your first time?
So the first time I wrestled outside of Florida, the first time I traveled for a show outside of Florida was in Georgia, with two good friends of mine who were tagging at the time. And we ended up being a faction for a while as well. Richard King and Jay Sky, and they were tagging. They brought me along for a show just because they needed a third to just come along. And I didn't even end up wrestling that night. I just managed, but that was the first time I was like, be able to be a part of a show outside of Florida. And it was in Georgia. And then when I actually wrestled out of state for the first time, oh man, I wish I had it off the dome, but what I do have is this matchbook. And I was told when I was really young in this to keep track of everything, because a lot of older wrestlers don't. So I will tell you exactly the first time, we can cut this in post, I hope. The first time that I wrestled out of state was at the New Japan LA Dojo. That is the first time I left state. Yeah, I actually am just realizing it now. The first time I wrestled out of state was at the New Japan LA Dojo in a practice match in front of Clark Connors and Alex Coughlin and Shibata, who was running the classes. It was nuts.
I was
maybe 6 or 7 months into wrestling full time. Like, that was the first time I left the state to actually wrestle.
That is insane, especially at that dojo. Holy shit. In front of the scouts, in front of
the most difficult experience of my life. When they tell you that those dojos and the way that they treat their young boys, their young lions, it's no joke. They try to torture you just to see if you can hack it.
They take it very seriously. 100%. They take that shit serious. Which is incredible to think about, because you would think, I don't wrestle, and I don't think I would ever be able to do what you guys do, because physically I can't. Mentally, maybe. Physically, nah, dude. I'll leave it up to you guys.
It's no joke, guys.
Japan, like wrestling in Japan, and like just a dojo and everything is,
it's next
level. Top tier. It's,
I can honestly say I wasn't even ready for that platform at the time, and it wasn't for a crowd. It wasn't for anybody that, you know, was paying to see a show necessarily. I was just trying to get better. I it was a week long camp experience that I was able to go to that they were willing to accept me into, knowing that I didn't have a ton of experience, but I went there. I worked my damnedest, and that was a very formative experience. I learned a lot very quickly at that time.
And they saw something in you where they're like, all right, no, let's give this kid a shot. And now you have that under your belt, which is kind of, it may not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but to you, I'm sure, like, hey, I have that under my belt. This is something that nobody could take away from me.
Absolutely. It's an experience I'll never forget. That's for sure.
That's amazing. And now you've been wrestling for about 2 years now, right?
Coming up on four. I'm finishing up year four, entering year five now.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, but I would also say
that. No, that's okay. Cause I would also say that 2020 was mostly lost.
Yeah.
I wrestled, I think only seven, eight times in 2020, you know, because of the pandemic and because of moving back to New York from Florida. Like, it was a lot of lost time in there. Really, it's more like 3 years, but on the calendar, coming up on four.
4 years. My apologies. I interview so many people. It's like I get all these years mixed up. Right now, 2020 obviously is a question I always ask these wrestlers. It was a hard time for a lot of us. Very hard. The world shut down. How were you able to, you know, keep such a positive mindset through that time?
Oh, I wasn't, and I didn't. It was 2020 was, especially when COVID hit, was incredibly difficult. I was living in Florida with my girlfriend at the time. We were living together in an apartment while I was just finishing up at Full Sail. And about a month prior, I had wrapped up an internship with WWE at the Performance Center, where I was broadcasting with them, and I was learning all of the broadcast roles.
Wow.
And that's another experience with 6 months learning learning broadcasting from Tom Phillips, Byron Saxton, and Caleb Braxton, and then going to NXT shows and shadowing Keith Lee and Adam Cole and Dijak and Gargano and all Cassius Ohno, all these people that I was able to just learn through via osmosis and asking them questions, and they'd be genuinely happy to help me. So that was remarkable. That was a great experience. But coming out of that and coming into like COVID hitting, I mean, I was displaced from my home. Like we couldn't make ends meet, and we moved back to New York and broke up. I finished college over a laptop, and then couldn't land a job. But all of that time was happening when I wasn't wrestling. And so the thing that was making me the most happy or fulfilled in my life, I couldn't do that either. Incredibly, incredibly difficult, to the point where when I left Florida and got to New York and thought that it'd be a little easier for me to land a job up here, even during the pandemic, whatever, I had prepared to just be done wrestling. I was trying to wrap around my head this idea that, like, you know, the time is going to come where I don't do this anymore, and the pandemic is going to wipe that away. And I thought that I was just going to be done. And that was very difficult time to try and wrap my head around this idea that I don't get to do the thing that makes me happy anymore. And I still deal with, you know, thoughts that, or people that try to pull me away from it, or people that don't want me to stop, but realize that, like, this is a ticking clock. And if I don't get signed by X amount of time, then whatever. Point being, in that 2020, I didn't have it. I just didn't have this. And it took all the way until September of that year, so a good like 6-7 months, where I was able to finally wrestle in New York, or up in this area. It was in Rhode Island, specifically at XWA, where a friend of mine,
promotion,
Steve Pena, put me on. And I was able to just try and continue this thing slowly until independent promotion started coming back and allow me the opportunities to really get my feet set here, because I was starting from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have connections up here. I didn't have home promotions up here. I was an unknown commodity with association to a school that I didn't train at very long, and a wrestling career down in Florida that nobody watched or knew about. So I've almost started two wrestling careers in 4 years.
Which is crazy to think about, because you were, you know, you bounced from New York to Florida. Now you're going from Florida to New York, back to New York, right? And you didn't realize how much, did you, like, when you were in Florida, did you realize, like, how much independent wrestling there was, especially up here in, like, the Northeast?
Oh, I knew about the scene up here, because I, in high school and when I was in college, I had started following it. Like, I knew about Beyond and Chaotic and the fact that Evolve was traveling and Limitless, yep, and places like that. I've known about Northeast independent wrestling for a while. When I got to Florida, it sort of occurred to me how much independent wrestling there is on a lower level, a smaller level, shows that run once a month or once every few months that draw maybe 50 to 100 people. And like, yeah, they're small shows, but they're also the perfect opportunity for people who are learning to perform in that capacity. So when I did finally get up to New York, where the crowds were a little bigger and the shows were a little more, I guess, respectable or like important, I felt prepared for that.
That's incredible, because I tell a lot of wrestlers who don't really know about like the scene up here, because I interview wrestlers from all over. They know a little bit. I tell them, like, especially up here, like Massachusetts, Connecticut, again, New York is huge. But I feel like you've wrestled a lot in Massachusetts. I saw you wrestle this past year. That's where I first met you, I think, where you wrestled Alec Price at Wrestling Open.
Yeah, that was an open, a Wrestling Open a couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Wrestling Open. Shout out to Drew, because they do phenomenal, phenomenal stuff up there. I love going. And because you wrestled at Wrestling Open a few times. Yeah. That wasn't your only match.
No, I wrestled at Restival. I debuted for Beyond / Wrestling Open at their like soft launch for the Restival, you know, wrestling festival, just on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and then the following day, I think, was the schedule. I was there, I wrestled Armani Chaos, and then a couple weeks later I wrestled again. I don't remember who I wrestled this. Antonio Zambrano, I believe.
Zambrano,
and then Ray Jazz like a month later. And then I took some time away from Wrestling Open just because of how my schedule was working work-wise. At that time, I was working with WWE as a production assistant with NXT UK. So it was a little tougher to get away from the weekday stuff.
That's, dude, that's awesome, man. Like, I'm like working out high key.
I have lived lives.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I didn't realize all this shit you did. That's amazing. Like to you know, work with WWE for a little while as, you know, as for your internship, to meet all these wrestlers. It's kind of surreal. Even to me, like, cause I've never done it. To you, it must have been like, okay, this is really cool.
No, it's bananas. It's beyond wild. Like I was able to, you know, formulate friendships with people who were on the NXT roster as an intern, and then, you know, build connections with people on the UK roster and, you know, in the Stanford offices as well, when I was working for that show. Like, to be a wrestler and do all of those things is basically unheard of. It's very rare that WWE lets independent wrestlers in the building when they aren't signing them to a contract. So, and it just comes back to the sort of theme of my life, which was like, if I get this degree, it will open these doors for me. So I was able to get the editing role with WWE because of my degree. It had nothing to do with me being a wrestler.
Right.
But because I'm so passionate about this and because this is my life, I just want to marry the two. I just want to mush it all together. That's the theme.
That's amazing. And again, you said you had your degree in from Full Sail, which obviously WWE has a good relationship with them. So they're like, you know what, let's give this kid a shot. Let's see what he got. And again, opened so many doors for you. We talked about the White Eagle a couple minutes ago, right? White Eagle is one of my favorite venues to go to for great wrestling venue. Shows. I great. Love it. I think I discovered – I've always heard about the White Eagle because I watch so much wrestling beyond Wrestling Open. I watch them all the time. And my buddy Justin, he was like, hey, I got a proposition for you. Do you want to go to Wrestling Open? I'm like – it took me a while to go because my work schedule was so crazy. I'm like, you know what? Let me go this time. I think I went there for the first time back in March for like the women's show. Then a few months later, I was able to go to Wrestling Open.
Yeah,
Wrestling Open is another ball game. That shit is Open's they take great. That
Open
shit.
Is an animal. Open is just short, explosive matches full of talent that is hungry and just want to stand out. Everybody wants to stand out of that show.
And I was talking to Marcus a couple weeks ago on the show, and he said the White Eagle has the best wrestling fans, and they do. The wrestling fans there are amazing. It's any promotion you go to, because I've been to so much wrestling, right? And White Eagle's in my top five. It's a
passionate crowd. The fact that they stand not just ringside, they stand on the apron effectively. Yeah. And just give as much energy and passion and investment into the wrestlers that we can't live without. We don't do this without a crowd like that.
And shout out to the fans who've been going for, 40, 42 weeks in a row, because I think I've been to maybe 10. And I can imagine going to 40, 40 something in a row. My God, you know, shout out to them. Best wrestling fans in the world.
It's nuts. It's the best.
Insane, right? So White Eagle, you wrestled at, right? I know you've done a lot of work in New Jersey. Everywhere. You fucking wrestled everywhere. I can't even
I'm trying to check off all the states, man. All the states and as many countries as possible.
You know, what other than the White Eagle, right? What are your other favorite venues that you wrestled at?
Oh, that's a good question. The XWA Event Center, which was the first place that I really got to work at XWA in Rhode Island in West Warwick. That place is great. I feel like from the very first time that I wrestled there, and I wrestled Kylon King in the main event, which was my first main event singles in a place that didn't know me or care about me, but they gave me an opportunity. And that crowd took to me like I'd never had happened before, especially on the first time. It was like that sort of investment I had never experienced it. That place was remarkable. In Germany at WXW that I was at 2 months ago, that was bananas. That was so wild. The fans there, they had printouts and trading cards custom made and physically brought them to shows for myself and O'Shea Edwards and Steve Pena, all the American wrestlers that were there, just to show appreciation of us being there and prepared for us to sign them and take pictures with us with those cards and those pictures, like a passionate group. And when I performed for them, there were maybe 200 people, but it felt like 1,000. It felt like 1,000.
Bro, that's just, you wrestled in Germany? Holy shit.
I wrestled in Germany this year. I wrestled at AW Dark a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
I'm having the best year in wrestling that I've ever had.
With all this wrestling that you've done, right? Especially within this year, there must be times where you sit down, you're relaxing, and you go, damn, I can't believe I did that.
You know, I was just thinking about that with Germany. Like, it didn't sink in until I got home and yeah. I went to sleep, because just the travel, the multiple flights that it took me to get there when I got back, and I just crashed. And when I woke up, and I was like, I woke up in Germany yesterday and today I'm back home. And it just sort of sinks in, like, I wrestled at the biggest company in Europe, the most watched wrestling company outside of WWE and New Japan and AEW. Like, it's the biggest wrestling company on a continent. That's a big deal. And I knew it going in, but it didn't really sink in that I was able to do that at only 3+ years ever wrestling.
That's amazing, man. Like, a little bit, I'm like marking out a little bit, man. That's
so no, cool. Man, don't mark out. I'm just being great.
No, I know. You know, again, you wrestled in Germany, right? And then you just mentioned that you wrestled in for AEW Dark. AEW Dark is something I have a huge passion for, because it's introducing us to so many new wrestlers. It's introduced me to so many new wrestlers. And I feel like that's what WWE needs to do, is introduce the, you know, these indie guys a little more, you know, like, give them a platform. They're doing a little better with, you know, actually using their actual indie names now that Triple H has taken over. I don't know if people realize, like, oh, that's so, hey, no, they're using their actual independent names on WWE, not sure. Some generic name that Vince gave them, which I love so much, right? AEW Dark is, again, a platform where these independent wrestlers are able to showcase their talent. A lot of people, oh, they lost. Yeah, but they just wrestled in front of 15,000 people. Like, that's something that not a lot of people can say.
Exactly. Again, you know, people give a little bit of a hard time to Dark and Dark Elevation, because they're, a lot of the times, they're quote unquote squash matches or enhancement matches. And, like, I get that, right? Like, if you're a wrestling fan and you want to see a character have a match, you don't want to see a 2-minute beatdown. Totally understandable as a wrestling fan, right? As a wrestler, as somebody who aspires to be in a place like that, I look at a guy like Lee Moriarty. I look at a guy, I look at somebody like Willow Nightingale, who is a homie. Like, if you go over there, at least, you know, from my perspective, with the intention of doing your job the best way that you can, and not using it as a platform to steal the show and become a star. No. Like, that's not what Dark is for, from my perspective. My perspective going to Dark is, I'm going to go shake the right hands, learn from the right people, talk to as many people as I can about how to get better without being a nuisance, of course. And when it's time for me to go do my job, I do that job to the best of my ability. Make sure that when I get to the back, I can get any feedback possible about how that went, and then go home and apply those tools. So when I had, and it just aired on Monday or Tuesday, this tag match with Bishop King, BK Klein, against the Guns, Billy Gunn was producing that match. Sir Penigo helped produce that match. And, like, those are two guys who've been working with AEW since its inception, and yep. Guys that I'm going to be able to learn from right away. So I went there, I had the match. It was 5 minutes where I sold my ass off and took everything that Austin and Colton wanted to do. And Austin is a friend from Florida, so I was more than ecstatic to be able to share the ring with somebody who knew who I was and what I was there for. I go get that feedback. I go get that footage. I get a little logo next to my name. And now going forward, I am a better wrestler than I was the day before I went.
That is, see, look, you nailed it right in the coffin. I mean, that's what it's all about. Like, I just, you know, I said it before, you know, people who don't understand wrestling, like, to us, it's like, Oh, big deal. They wrestle. No, like to us big wrestling fans who know who these wrestlers are, and to these wrestlers, this means the absolute world to them. And I love seeing the wrestlers I know wrestle at AEW. You know, I see a lot of, I go to shows in Mass, right? So I'm always seeing Waves and Curls, Little Me and Kathleen, Teddy Goods, Manscout, BRG, Bryce, Bobby Orlando. The freaking list goes on and on and on, right? Absolutely. And as a fan, it's like, that is so cool. To them, that must be like, okay, like
this it is and seeing my friends and contemporaries and in situations like that. Bear Bronson is one of the sweetest men that I've ever met, and seeing him and Boulder go from an enhancement team to being the Iron Savages and getting a new name from the company that they started as off enhancement talent from them is like, that's a serious investment into them. And that's understanding like, all right, these two came in, did their jobs and have earned that respect. I'm ecstatic for people like that. I'm ecstatic when I see people take an opportunity and run with it.
Absolutely. And that's what wrestling is all about, right? You know, Jarrett, man, before we end the show, I want to ask one more question. What are your goals for 2023? Because you did so much in 2022, right? Now, what are your goals for 2023?
Goals for 2023. One of them is to go back to Germany, which I'll definitely be working on. I have an open invitation effectively. So that's remarkable. I definitely want to schedule that out. I want to keep traveling. I wrestled in a few new states and a few new places this year. I was able to scratch off like Indiana and I was able to wrestle in Las Vegas again. I want to go wrestle in California again. There are a lot of places that I want to go back to, but there's also, you know, new promotions. I want to wrestle in Europe again on the English scene. I want to wrestle in Canada and Mexico. I haven't done that yet. Goals for 2023 is to keep growing and keep traveling. I feel that if somebody's doing this, doing what I do with the intention of getting signed or getting famous, there's nothing wrong with that effectively, but you're forgetting the grind along the way, or you're overlooking the work that it's going to take to get to a place like that. And as much as I want to get signed and make wrestling my full-time living and just travel the world and wrestle, traveling the world wrestling is going to get me to the place where pen is to paper. And that's how I feel. So that's the goal. Wrestle in as many new, exciting, prestigious places as I can until the right eyes notice.
Absolutely, bro. You, again, nailed it right in the coffin, bro. Jarrett, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I wish you the absolute nothing but best of luck. I hope to see you at some more shows, bro. Yeah, man. But till we end the show, where can the nerds find you?
Justin, thank you for having me, man. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Jarrett Diaz. I'm on TikTok at Jarrett Diaz. TikTok is not really a wrestling form.
No, you're good, bro. All the plugs.
No. Twitter and Instagram at the Jarrett Diaz. That's where you can keep updated with my schedule. And I hope you enjoyed getting to know me a little better.
Absolutely, bro. Jarrett, again, thank you so much. This has been an episode of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds. And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.